And so I started off and went to the next church, and the pastor there is quite handy with mechanical things, and he welded that jack back on. And he took all the whole thing apart, and there's gears, and there's things in there that are tightening the gears up. And so we kind of rebuilt it, and greased it all up, and it works great. And so I didn't know that he could. I was getting ready to buy new jacks. I didn't know that he could weld those jacks back on. But man, he welded that thing on like you'd never even, you never knew it was had been sawed in half. And so we got that done. We were down into a some sort of a preacher's meeting down in South Ohio. And it was held at Denny's, and so I got to meet some preachers there, and I had a meeting booked already down there, in Southern Ohio. There's a pastor in Marietta that has Marietta Bible College, and that Bible College has about 40 young people from the Philippines. They're training for the ministry. They're training here. It's a two or three-year program. I've forgotten just what. But it's a good idea, and he's done a wonderful job. They send these people back to the Philippines and start churches, and in some cases take churches where people are retiring. And so it's a great ministry he has there. Marietta Bible College. I think it's Marietta Baptist Bible College. And wonderful ministry. He's been there. That college has been there more than 40 years. He's 85 years old. He's still going. And so it's it was a wonderful experience there to be with them. Looking forward to a great week here and in the school every day, and we'll have the services today and also on Thursday night, and so looking forward to all of that. I want to speak to you this morning, and we're going to go through some things about the Antichrist. And there's coming a man like no other, totally possessed by Satan. And those who do not trust Christ as their Savior will be left behind whenever the rapture comes. To help you not to be deceived, we'll look into Scripture for a portrait of the Antichrist. And the Bible says more about the Antichrist than any other figure except Jesus Christ. First is Jesus Christ. Next is the Antichrist. So evidently God wants us to know about this man. Otherwise there would not be so much Scripture relating to him. And so the prefix anti means like and against. Means both. First 3.5 years he will be like. Next 3.5 years he will be against. And like a criminal with many aliases, we see him throughout Scripture. He's seen in Exodus as the Pharaoh, the defier of God, the one who treats people, God's people, cruelly. In the book of Job, he's the crooked serpent, Job 26 and verse 3. In Psalms, he's called the bloody and deceitful man, Psalms 5 and verse 6. The man of the earth, in Psalm 10, verse 18. He shall wound the head over many countries. Psalm 110, verse 6. Isaiah calls him the Assyrian, the rod of God's anger, in chapter 10 and verse 5. Jeremiah says that he's the destroyer of the Gentiles in chapter 4 and verse 7. Ezekiel says he's the profane, wicked prince of Israel, chapter 21 and verse 25. Daniel describes him fully and outlines his career for us. Hosea calls him the king of princes, chapter 8 and verse 10. Amos says he's the adversary who shall break Israel's strength and spoil her palaces, chapter 3 and verse 11. Zechariah says that he's the idol shepherd upon whom is pronounced God's woe and upon whom descends his judgment, chapter 11 and verse 17. All these lines of prophecy flow throughout the scripture, and they converge in Revelation, where he is simply called the beast. Now, first of all, the Antichrist as a person. Only John uses the name of Antichrist. 1 John 2 and verse 18 through 22, and also chapter 4 and verse 3, 2 John 7. And so Paul calls him that man of sin, that man of sin, the son of perdition. It's incredible. It's incredible how far God will allow Satan to go in mimicking the Lord Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will be a Jew. No scripture which declares that he will be a Jew. However, there are some strong hints that Antichrist will be a Jew. In Daniel 9 and verse 26, he is called the Prince of Israel. It's unthinkable that Israel would follow anyone but a Jew. He will be received by Israel as their Messiah. John 5 and verse 43, the Bible says another, Jesus himself was a Jew. And so John 5:43 says, and another shall come in his own name. The word another means of the same kind. Of the same kind. So these two verses tell us very strongly that a Gentile just doesn't fit into this, but a Jew does. The Antichrist will be a man, yet more than a man, Jesus Christ was. He was a man, but he was much more than a man. Antichrist will be a superman whom the world is even now looking. Some years ago, a leader of the European Union said this. He said, "We need a man, a leader of sufficient stature to command our allegiance and to lift the nations out of their economic and political morass. If he be a god or the devil, we will follow him." Henry Spake said that. He will come out of a small, insignificant nation of the revived Roman Empire, according to Daniel 7 and verse 8. "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn." One of the names of Antichrist is little horn. And the name, word horn, the word horn in Bible prophecy means leaders or nations. They're synonymous. Both of these can be called horns, leaders or nations. He's called the little horn. "A little horn before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like a man and a mouth speaking great things." And so from the very beginning, as he comes on the scene, he's going to use some violence. I don't know any other way to pluck up something by the roots than to violently pick it up. If you were out gardening, what would you do if you wanted to pick weeds out of your garden? Would you play music and see if you could kill them that way? make rock music? Kill the weeds with rock music? Would you try to talk to them and try to convince them it's the right thing to do, so leave the comfort of the soil and just come out there in the open? There's no other way to do it than to use some sort of violence. You reach down and you just grab that root, the root of that weed, and pull it right on up. That's what Antichrist is going to do. By the time he comes on the scene, the ten horns of Daniel in chapter 7 will have been formed. 10 super nations, all 190 something nations, are going to form into 10 super nations. North American Union, the North American Union is the first one. Who's that? Mexico, United States, and Canada. They've began economic joining together. It'll go much further than that. By the time of the end, it'll not only be total economic union, but it will be political union, military union, banking union, the whole shebang. The European Union is nation number two. And nation number two, it's on its way to do the same thing. And what a fight they're having over there with England leaving the European Union. Now, no matter how that turns out, no matter if England does, Great Britain does leave the European Union, they're going to be going back in at some point. Could be they'll come out, but in the very end, they're going to be part of the European Union. according to the Bible. And so they will go back in at some point. And what a total mess they have in the country. And the Queen is even in on it. And just goes to show you how close to the end we are and how these things are forming up. Notice that Trump did not disband any of the alliances we had with Canada and Mexico. He just wants to improve them so that we get a better deal. But he didn't do away with them. See? All leading, everything we see today, and I know you get tired of me saying this, everything we see points to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything economic, everything political, everything socially, everything's pointing to the second coming of Jesus Christ. We're so close. Japan doesn't have to join up with anybody. Japan is the third supernation. Australia, South Africa, and all of the lesser developed countries of the earth, they are in supernation number four. Supernation number five is Eastern Europe and Russia joining together. Number six is Latin America. Number seven is the North Africa and Middle Eastern nations. And the question is, will Israel join nation number seven? I don't think it will. And I think that is going to precipitate a war, an end time war, because Israel will not join in. Because see, if Israel joins in to supernation number seven, a Muslim is going to be the leader of that supernation number seven, and they're not going to have a Muslim leader. There's going to be an argument. There's going to be a parting of the ways. So that's the way I see it. I just don't see them going into it. The only country that doesn't. Number eight, tropical Africa. Supernation. They've already formed into something very similar to the North American Union. Tropical Africa has. They're trading within themselves. And see, it starts out by trade. It starts out by economic union. So the European Union is trading within themselves, and if England pulls out, they're saying that's called a hard Brexit, pulling out without any deals. That means they will have no trade advantages, and they're just on their own. See? Number nine is South and Southeast Asia. And number 10 is China. China doesn't have to join up with anybody. They are supernation number 10, and along with supernation number 3, Japan, for some reason which I am not aware of. I don't know why they don't have to join up with anybody, but they don't. And all this was created back in the 1970s by the Club of Rome. Nations were not asked which supernation they wanted to be in. They were told, you're in this, you're in that. This is the way we're going to do it. And so for all these years, almost 50 years now, they've been working toward that end of each one of these nations joining up together. Now, when the Antichrist comes, this will already be done. And the leaders of these supernations are going to say, we're going to let you be our leader. The Antichrist will have a global government. Global government will not be here the way I read it until the revelation occurs. but the groundwork will already have been done. These 10 supernations. Then Revelation 17 and verse 17 will tell us that Antichrist will come on the scene and he's going to take charge of things. And so he'll be a raiser of taxes. Daniel 11 and verse 20. When he comes and requires taxes to be raised, that will symbolize the beginning of the revival of the Roman Empire. Caesar Augustus, what did Caesar Augustus do? And which was the reason why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He raised taxes. This is going to occur again. Worldwide taxes are going to be raised. Worldwide taxes. And so, when that happens again, Antichrist will have already come. Isaiah calls him the Assyrian. The Assyrian was the ancient enemy of Israel. Chapter 30 and verse 30 through verses 39 of Isaiah. Habakkuk calls him the Chaldean. He uses the name of an ancient or contemporary conqueror who has characteristics similar to those of Antichrist, the Chaldean. In ancient times, he was a conqueror. So that's one of his names. Now, the Antichrist as a peacemaker, Revelation 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer." Notice the bow has no arrows. It's like a gun without any bullets. It's pretty useless. So he conquers, but he does not do so violently, except for those first three countries that have formed, and he eliminates three of those first 10, which leaves seven. We're not told which three he's going to eliminate. God leaves that to our conjecture, I guess. But nevertheless, he does eliminate them. And it's going to be at the beginning of his coming. And so, as he comes to power, he will unify opposing forces. The dream of the United Nations will at last be realized. Oh, I know that the United Nations is a big failure today, and we mock it, but one day it's going to come to maturity, and that's when Antichrist comes, and he's going to use the platform of the United Nations to accomplish his purposes. And so completely will the world be swayed that they will give their kingdoms to him. As I said before, they're not going to be seized. The world's going to give their kingdoms to him. Revelation 17 and verse 17. He's going to be an intellectual genius. And I don't care what you say, Al Gore is not the Antichrist. This man's going to be a genius. And he will, by the devil's imitation, or rather imitation, I'm sorry, of that blessed one in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 and verse 3. He's going to impress people with his intellectual abilities. He's going to say, people are going to marvel. Look what this guy is going to do here. Look what he has said. Look at the problems he's solving. We've had these problems since creation, and now he seems to be working out all these things. Marvelous. Is it any wonder he will be looked upon by the world's population as God? Because he's going to accomplish all these wonderful things. Daniel 7:20, he's represented as having a horn, and a horn speaks of strength. And he has eyes. They speak of intelligence. Sometimes you can look into a person's eyes and you can see this guy really knows what's going on. The same way you can look into someone's eyes and say, really, this person's got problems. The eyes reveal the inner person. The eyes speak of the soul. And so he has eyes that speak of intelligence. Daniel 8 and verse 23 says, he shall understand dark sentences. He's going to understand things that other people have been befuddled by. They just can't figure it out. But he's going to understand things that they have never been able to solve. He's going to be an oratorical genius. We saw his prototype in World War II with Hitler. Hitler came from a small, insignificant town of Europe, Austria. Hitler was demon-possessed at age 15. His eyes turned a different color, as sometimes happened with demon-possessed people. He was born with brown eyes, but at age 15, his eyes turned blue. He had a satanic hatred for the Jew, just as Antichrist will. Hitler drove the Jew back into the land. Antichrist will drive the Jew back to God. And Jesus will not come back. 1 second before the Jew recognizes Jesus Christ as their Messiah. It's not going to happen. It may look like it's going to happen, but it's not going to happen until that occurs. And so, he's going to be an oratorical genius. Hitler would start off very slow in his speeches. And he would build, and he would build, and he would build. He spoke a long time. Almost every time he spoke, he had lots to say. And by the time that he got through with that message, whatever he was saying, that address, thousands of Germans were ready to conquer the world. They were saying, today, Germany. Tomorrow, the world. They actually thought that they were going to, he had them thinking they were going to conquer the world. For the most part, they believed that. Some of them believed it even after World War II was over. They were fanatical. And so he was going to be an oratorical genius. The Bible says in Daniel 7 and verse 20, he has a mouth that spake very great things. People are going to be moved by his speaking ability, by his oratorical ability. He's going to be a wizard with words. Revelation 13, verse 2 says, his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The voice of the lion excels that of any other beast. When a lion roars, you can hear it for, I don't know how far, but it is really a loud voice. The Bible says he has a voice that's going to roar like a lion. He's like E.F. Hutton. When he speaks, everybody's going to listen. Remember that ad that used to be on TV all the time? When the Antichrist speaks, people are going to listen. Hitler swayed the masses of Germans. He was a prototype. Many thought he was the Antichrist back in World War II. Turned out that, and some thought Mussolini was the Antichrist, because Mussolini came from a small European country, Italy. And he had somewhat of the same effect Hitler did. He was a powerful speaker. And it promised the Italian people a world. They caught on to it about halfway through the World War II. And a band of partisans caught up with him and they killed him and his girlfriend and hung them up by piano wire. Didn't turn out that either Hitler or Mussolini was the Antichrist, but they were prototypes, especially Hitler. Prototypes. Revelation 13 and verse 16, the mark in the right hand are in their foreheads. He's going to be a commercial genius. He's going to solve all the problems of the business world. And so the people living during that period of time are going to have a mark on the right hand, or they're going to have it in the forehead. We're not told exactly what this is going to be. Some have speculated a barcode. But there are people right now that's having that done. Did you know that? They're having their kids have a barcode, and in order that if they are lost or kidnapped or whatever, they can find them electronically. So they're willingly doing this. And that's the way it's going to be in Revelation. The Bible says in Revelation that Antichrist is going to cause people to have the mark. It's not going to be something that's going to be something they're going to be forced to do. He's going to bring conditions about that's going to say, hey, I want that too. The people of the world are going to say, hey, I want that too. He's going to cause it. He's going to bring certain conditions around so that they will actually want that. He's going to be a military genius. He's going to be General Sherman, General Lee, General Patton, General Eisenhower, all rolled into one. He's going to be a military genius. And he shall destroy wonderfully, Daniel 8 and verse 24 says. He's going to sweep everything before him. Who is able to make war with him? Revelation 13 and verse 4 asks the question, who is able to make war with the Antichrist? None. They'll try. There's going to be rebellion. They'll try, but none will be successful till the very end when Jesus comes. He's going to be a religious genius. He's going to proclaim himself to be God, and people are going to believe it. They're going to believe it. He's going to demand honor shown to him. Sitting in the temple shall show himself forth that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 4. He's going to proclaim himself to be God. In fact, he's going to sit in the temple at halfway through the tribulation period and proclaim himself to be God. And the world is going to believe that. He's going to make a covenant with Israel to protect her and permit her to rebuild the temple. Now, I think it's a possibility that the temple is going to be rebuilt before Antichrist comes. Right now, there is a cry going up throughout the world to rebuild the temple. And do you know the reason why? In the interest of world peace, the temple, the third temple, should be built. Everything over in Israel is ready except for one thing. The real estate. They haven't decided on the real estate. And where is this temple going to be built? There's evidence that the second temple was built in the city of David, which is only about 200 yards from the Temple Mount. There's strong evidence. A guy's written a book. I don't know what his name is. I've not read the book. I've just heard about it. He's written a book on the temple and the city of David. Now, you know my position on Trump, and I thought Trump, even before he was elected, I thought Trump would be used to facilitate the third temple. Might happen, I don't know. He's already moved the American embassy over to Israel. All of the other presidents have always promised that, but they never delivered on it. And so he might be in office just to do that one thing. As I've said before, he might wind up doing more for Israel than what he does for America. And so we'll have to wait and see. But everything's ready except the real estate. Did you know that all the utensils used in the intricate worship services of the temple, they've already been made just like the originals? They're sitting there ready. Did you know that the priests who are going to perform these religious ceremonies, they're being trained in Israel at a school to bring back the altars and the sacrifices in the temple. All the furniture in the temple, that's already been made. And did you know that an architect has drawn the plans for that temple? There's nothing else to do except decide whether the temple is going to be on the Temple Mount, side by side with the Mosque of Omar, or whether the temple will be a little bit lower down the City of David. The City of David has fresh water. The Temple Mount has no fresh water. The city of David has the pool of Siloam to provide cleansing water, which has to be pure water. Can't be just any water. Can't be piped in from the city. It's got to be pure water. Pool of Siloam has that kind of water. And so there's a problem with having the temple on the Temple Mount. They have to solve the problem of Where's the water going to come from to wash away all the blood and all the do all the intricate ceremonies that are going to be held in the temple? So we're going to have to break off here, and we've got others coming in. So I'm going to pray, and then we will go to the morning service. Father, we're grateful for your goodness. I pray that souls would be saved today. Christians would be encouraged and challenged by thy word. We'll give thee the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.